Imagine trying to build a brand new democracy completely from scratch. You've got like a devastating poverty crisis and a looming public health emergency on one hand.
Right, and then on the other hand, your national shopping list includes a multi-billion rand fleet of fighter jets and submarines.
Yeah, it is wild. So today in our deep dive, we are unpacking the ultimate financial balancing act. We're looking at the 1999 South African Medium-Term Expenditure Framework, or the MTEF.
We've brought together the government's official budget documents to really explore how a young nation translates, you know, sweeping policy ideals into cold, hard cash.
Because at the end of the day, a national budget isn't just a spreadsheet of numbers. It's basically a country's receipt, proving what a government actually values when forced to make impossible choices.
Exactly. And the 1999 MTEF represents a massive philosophical shift for South Africa. Instead of just tracking raw spending, the government pivoted to focusing on what they called what money buys.
What money buys. Okay, so focusing on actual service delivery and tangible outputs.
Yes, precisely. They directed a massive portion of resources into social services. So education took up about 27% of the budget, health around 14%, and welfare 11%.
Wait, throwing 27% of a national budget at a broad category like education is easy. But how does a government prove that money is actually working and not just, you know, disappearing into some administrative black hole?
That was the exact vulnerability they were trying to fix. The structural solution they introduced was the National Expenditure Survey.
Oh.
Yeah. So for the first time, departments couldn't just say, well, we spent this much. They were actually forced to publish exact service delivery information alongside their budgets.
So they had to show the receipts.
Right. It was an ultimatum to show Parliament and the public the actual data proving you improve people's lives with the money you were given.
Even with that broad social spending, the sources show a government fighting immediate fires. I mean, they carved out a highly targeted 1 billion rand just for poverty relief.
They channeled those funds into initiatives designed to solve multiple problems at once. Take the Working for Water program, for example.
Working for Water. That was the one hiring unemployed citizens specifically to clear invasive plant species, right?
Exactly. Which tackled rural joblessness while simultaneously protecting the country's vulnerable water supply.
And then there's the Unsabambu Fund for youth job creation. The sources mentioned it was financed by the demutualization of Sanlam and Old Mutual.
Which sounds incredibly dense.
It does. To translate that financial jargon for you listening, these were massive mutual societies that converted into public companies.
Right, and that conversion unlocked a massive new pool of taxable wealth. The government essentially grabbed a slice of that windfall to fund youth skills development.
They were also launching an aggressive intersectoral strategy to combat the HIV/AIDS pandemic. The administration realized a health crisis of that magnitude just couldn't be contained by the health department alone.
No, absolutely not. It required a multi-departmental financial response to really hold the social fabric together.
But, you know, you can't fund hospitals or create jobs if institutional decay and organized crime are just draining the economy.
Which explains why they had to completely overhaul the integrated justice system at the exact same time.
Yeah, they introduced some highly publicized upgrades, specifically a new automated fingerprint identification system, or AFIS.
And the creation of the Directorate of Special Operations, that's the elite anti-crime unit known as the Scorpions.
Right, the Scorpions. Those are the flashy headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But does creating a Hollywood-style elite unit actually fix a fundamentally sluggish justice system?
Well, the architects of the MTEF actually anticipated that exact critique. They specifically coupled the creation of the Scorpions with increased funding for the lower courts.
Oh, I see.
The logic was that an elite unit can target high-profile syndicates, but if you don't clear the everyday administrative backlog in the magistrate courts, the entire justice pipeline just stays clogged. You really need both ends functioning.
So they're battling massive internal crises, yet they are also looking outward. The budget details a massive strategic arms procurement package.
Yeah, anywhere from 21.3 up to 29.9 billion rand to upgrade obsolete defense equipment.
I have to be honest, it feels a bit like buying a high-end luxury security system while you're still patching the roof.
If we look at the government's stated rationale in these documents, they framed it as a regional necessity. They argued the military upgrades were required for regional conflict resolution and peacekeeping missions.
Oh, and driving what they called an African Renaissance?
Yes. They also included industrial participation commitments in the defense contracts with the stated goal of injecting foreign investment back into the local economy.
It's an enormous bet. And to afford their other macro ambition, infrastructure, they leaned heavily on public-private partnerships to manage the upfront costs.
They utilized a build-operate-transfer model for projects like the two new maximum security prisons in Bloemfontein and Louis-Trichardt.
So instead of the government paying up front, a private company fronts the cash to build and run the 3,000-inmate facility for a few decades.
Exactly, before eventually handing it back to the state. It shifted the immediate financial risk off the government's balance sheet so they could get critical infrastructure built instantly.
The 1999 MTEF really is a masterclass in extreme tension. It's a tool for managing the painful push and pull between fighting desperate, immediate poverty on the ground while simultaneously locking in billions for future defense and infrastructure.
It absolutely forces a young democracy to put a strict price tag on its competing priorities.
Which leaves a final provocative thought for you to mull over today. If a budget truly is the ultimate truth teller, what would happen if you audited your own personal bank statements? Does your spending receipt actually reflect the values you claim matter most?